Good morning. This morning we are diving into our next to last weekend of this series we've been calling At the Movies. If you're here for the very first time, or maybe you're just here for the very first time during this series, you're wondering what's going on around you, or maybe you're checking us out online for the very first time. Man, we believe with all of our hearts that you are here on the perfect weekend. And we believe that you are not too late for this series. And here's why we believe that. It's because as we move through this series At the Movies, every single week we pick up a different movie in a different genre to connect with you exactly where you're at and to begin to reveal different truths for our lives and our future. You see, a couple weeks ago, we kicked off this series by going back in time to one of our favorite movies of all time, going back to the 80s and exploring some truths from Back to the Future. And then a couple weeks ago, we tackled the war genre for the very first time in At the Movies history as we explored Saving Private Ryan. And then last week, we tackled one of our favorite genres of all time for many of us in this room and for many of us watching online. We tackled the superhero genre by exploring truths from Black Widow. And today, while we may not be going back in time per se to a movie from our past, we're taking this journey down memory lane for many of us. A journey into the nostalgia of many of our lives. Because what I believe to be true is this. No matter how old you are, every single one of us have this soft spot in our hearts for animated movies. It's this reality that for some of us, that passion and that nostalgia even runs a little bit deeper. Because for some of us, we're what the world would consider to be Disney people. Like, we grew up being raised on movies like The Little Mermaid and Lion King, maybe even all the way back to Snow White or Aladdin or Beauty and the Beast. And because we were Disney people, we raised our kids, sometimes to our own demise, on movies like Frozen. And no matter how hard we try, right, we can't get Let It Go out of every single one of our nightmares. Or we raised our kids on movies like Moana. And we were such Disney people that growing up or now raising our own kids, we found ourselves taking vacations every year, every couple years to the Disney theme parks. And the thing I always say is this, you were either born with Disney in your blood and you get it or you weren't. And you see, for some reason, I find myself falling into the second category. I wasn't raised in a Disney household, and some of y'all want to fight me now for simply saying that, and so I'll just throw you this bone. You see, what I do love is Disney on Broadway. Krista and I have seen The Lion King a couple of times now, and we absolutely love it. But regardless of if you're a Disney person or not, it doesn't detract from the fact that each of us connect with animated movies. You see, whether you want to admit it or not, or whether you want to be tough or not, it's the truth. Because there's something about the innocence of animated movies that forces us to let our guard down. And when we let our guard down in the midst of the animated flick that we're watching, when Simba comes back to the pride and restores the circle of life, it brings a tear to our good eye, am I right? In the moments where we're sitting there with our guard down and Belle finds a way to love what's on the inside instead of what's on the outside, it strikes a chord in every single one of us. And because of that, we all have a favorite animated movie from our lives and our past that stuck with us through the years. For me, it's Big Hero 6. And if you've never seen this movie, it focuses on a boy who's struggling with the loss of someone he loves, his brother. And it works through dealing with this grief in unhealthy ways and in healthy ways towards the end to bring about an incredible ending to his story. But I thought as we engage on a week that's all about nostalgia and taking us back to our childhood, it would only be fitting for us to do something together, to get you guys interacting. And so here's what I thought. This morning, to take us back in time to our favorite animated movie, I thought it would be fun for y'all to share with the people you came with or the person sitting next to you your favorite animated movie of all time. Now, if you're sitting there and you're all by yourself this morning, man, here's what I'd challenge you to. Grab your weekly, take out the notes page on the back. It's completely blank. Flip that over. Grab a pen from the seat back in front of you and just write down your favorite animated movie of all time. Or maybe if you're at home watching all by yourself, yourself, you can just say it out loud. Nobody will think you're crazy for talking to yourself. You can just simply say out loud or to the person sitting in the car next to you as you're listening to this or whatever it may be, your favorite animated movie. Make sense? You got 10 seconds. Ready? Go. You see, as I listen to the murmur rise in the room, what it drives home is this reality that every single one of us have connected with an animated movie in our lives, and it strikes a chord in our past and in our present. And this morning, we take this next step in our series into the animated genre by exploring the movie Soul. Now, if you haven't seen the movie Soul, it centers on the life of a man named Joe. And what we know about Joe is this. Joe is an absolutely incredible musician who has a dream of living out his life and his purpose in becoming a professional musician. But unfortunately, like many professional musicians, Joe's story goes something like this. He hasn't caught his big break. He hasn't found his way into making a living off of his musicianship. And so when we pick up this movie, what we find is this. Joe finds himself feeling stuck, being a middle school band teacher. And yet in the opening clip of this movie, what we see is Joe begin to introduce his 11, 12, 13-year-old students to this incredible concept of purpose, of the reason why we were put on this earth. To see what Joe shares with them about purpose, check out this clip. At the very end, he said, "That's the moment I knew what I was born to do. I was born to play. That's the moment I discovered my purpose." And each of us have this desire deep down in us, this desire to discover why we were put on earth. And many of us have heard this quote before, that the two most important days of your life is the day that you were born and the day you figure out why. You see, no matter what you walked in here in the middle of, or what circumstances you're presently enduring, or the hope maybe for your life that you've let go of and given up on, what I believe with all of my heart is that for every single one of us in this room, for every single one of us watching online, this truth remains true for every single one of us. That you, and you, and you, and you were created on purpose, for a purpose. You were created on purpose, for a purpose. You were put on this very earth on purpose, for a purpose, to live and achieve something specific. And for the nearly 8 billion people who inhabit this earth at this very moment, what I know to be true is that this one thing remains constant over every single one of us. But it isn't just the 8 billion people who inhabit this earth at this very moment. It's for every single person who's ever walked on this earth in all of history. That this truth rings true for every single one of us. And we go back in history a couple thousand years, and a guy by the name of David shares this truth, this reality that rings true for every single one of us. It's where we're going to dive into this morning. In Psalm Chapter 139, starting in verse 13, this is what David writes about my Creator, your Creator, our Heavenly Father, our God. Starting in verse 13, he writes, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was even born." And then this is where David begins to speak of the truth that you were created on purpose for a purpose. "Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." And in my mind, there's this picture that's painted as David speaks about this reality for every single one of us, that our lives were laid out before a single day had even passed. This picture of our God, our Creator, looking at our lives with the blueprint of our lives laid out on this sprawling table in front of him. Of these were the gifts and the abilities that he was giving us so that we could live out this purpose all along the way in the time that we were given on earth. You see, your days were laid out to be lived out in a specific way. What I believe with all of my heart is that we have a God who created you in a specific way, unlike the person sitting next to you, unlike anyone who walks on this earth, who has ever walked on this earth, or who ever will walk on this earth. He created us unique and individual so that we could make a difference on this world that nobody else could. You were created to impact this world in such a way that nobody else has the abilities, the circle of influence that you have to make that impact on this world. But the problem is that every single one of us have found ourselves in moments of our lives in which we've been through the monotony, am I right? We've been through the hurts, we've been through the failures, we've been through the letdowns of life. And because of the way we feel every morning when we walk into our job, or because of the times we've continuously been knocked on our behind by life, when we try to make something more of ourselves, we've started to believe that maybe I just don't really have a purpose. We've started to believe deep in our minds and even unintentionally started to live like there can't realistically be much purpose to my time here on earth. Like when it really comes down to it, maybe all we're meant to do is just eat, sleep, try to survive, and pay our taxes. Those seem to be the constants in the world in which we live. And for many of us, we've become reserved to looking at our lives and our time on earth like 22 did. In this movie, Joe falls into a pothole. And before he goes to heaven, he's placed in this mentorship program of souls that will be coming to earth. And he's matched up with 22. And soul 22 has failed this mentorship program, the training of it, time and time again. Why? Because she's seen what earth is like and she wants no part of it. She sees what goes on down there and she doesn't really want to come to earth. And so she just keeps failing. And the reason why she doesn't want to come to earth is because this is what she sees of earth. Check out this video. You ever felt that way before? You can't crush a soul here. That's what life on earth is for. You see, if we were being really honest, when we looked at life on this earth, what we'd be forced to admit is that we've experienced at least a moment or two where this world is really good at crushing our souls, crushing our hopes, crushing our dreams. Deep down, the issue that exists for so many of us is this. Ben, I'd love to believe that I have a purpose for my life. But frankly, I've stopped trying because I don't even know where to start to find that purpose. Like, I look at my life and what I'm doing can't possibly be my purpose for my time here on earth. But I've tried other things and nothing seems to click. And because nothing seems to click and I've tried time and time again and I've been knocked on my behind and things just keep feeling monotonous and mundane, maybe it's just easier to quit. Easier to believe that I don't really have a purpose. But this morning, what I want to do for every single one of us is this. I want to answer this one question. Because if I believe with all of my heart that you and I, every single one of us, were created on purpose for a purpose, then this one question is imperative to be able to get us there. Answering this one question is important for us to be able to buy in to the truth that we have been created on purpose for a purpose. And that question is this: how do I find my purpose? Ben, what do I do to begin to discover why God created me and why I was placed on this earth? And what I believe with all of my heart is this, is that there are four ridiculously practical steps that if applied to our lives, and hear me on this, these four ridiculously practical steps are things that we can begin to apply right here, right now, today. They're relevant for our lives and no matter what we walked in here with. That if we can begin to apply these in our lives and have the courage to walk into every single one of these steps, that our purpose, our reason for being on this earth will begin to be revealed for us. And we'll begin to live a life unlike the life we're presently living. A life so much better, a rich and satisfying life, life to the full that God wanted us to have. When he sent his son to this earth, Jesus said, man, I want you to experience life to the full. I want you to have the best eternity possible. Not just after you die, but eternity like from this moment until forever. I want you to experience a rich and satisfying life. But to do that, you have to know why you were created. And so how do we find our purpose? Well, it begins here. We have to start looking at things with intentionality. We have to start looking at things in our life with intentionality. And if your life is anything like mine, it is so easy to move through life unintentionally just trying to survive day by day. And hear me on this, y'all. I get it. Life is hard. And if you need someone to step to the table first and to admit that they found themselves just trying to survive day by day, I'll be the first one to step forward and admit it. Because in my life, there have been far too many Fridays. In the Carver household, Friday is Daddy Day. Krista works on Friday. I'm off on Friday. And so Friday is me with the two boys. And there have been far too many Fridays in which I am just simply counting down the minutes until nap time. Don't laugh. Y'all been there before. And it's like, I'm just trying to make it to 3 o'clock and hope that that hour and a half break for every single one of us restores just a little bit of sanity, that we can recalibrate in that hour and a half and we can all get back on the same page and the craziness and the chaos will die down until about 7 o'clock when we start to count down the minutes until bedtime. It's so easy to get caught up in survival mode. But here's what I know. When we live our lives in survival mode, we start focusing on all the wrong things. And when we start focusing on all the wrong things, life starts to slip through our fingers. It's the reason why every parent that has grown children or at least one child that's moved out of the house continues to give this exact same advice to all of us with young children. Cherish it. Embrace it. Because before you know it, it'll be gone. My only reaction to that is like, dude, how quickly you forget. Like, how do you embrace it? How do you cherish it? Like the chaos and the shoes thrown at the TV and the screaming fits. Like, you just seem crazy to me. But the reality that those parents know is this, is that much like our lives, When we get stuck in survival mode, there will come a moment where we turn around a decade down the road wondering what we've done with our lives. Wondering if we've really made any difference or any impact. Wondering if our life has any purpose because we've just been trying to survive for the last decade. You see, Moses experiences this in his life. Yes, the same Moses who rescued the Israelites from slavery at the hand of Pharaoh in Egypt. The same Moses who parted the Red Sea. For 40 years, he found himself wandering through the desert with a large group of complainers clinging to this promise that you'll get to enter into the promised land one day. This piece of land that I have set aside, flowing with milk and honey for you and your people. And Moses reaches the end of these 40 years of wandering, and he receives this unfortunate news. Moses, you're not going to get to go in. And here's why. Because you've spent the last 40 years wandering around without a purpose, focusing on all the wrong things. And in light of receiving this unfortunate news in what should have been a devastating moment, Moses passes on this incredible advice to you and I. This passage may be one of my favorite passages in all of the Old Testament. You see, here is what Moses writes in Psalm chapter 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach me to realize that my time on this earth is limited. And because my time on this earth is limited, I have to live every single moment, live every single opportunity, live every single day with intentionality. And when I do that, here's what Moses says. When we start to look at every moment, every day, every opportunity with intentionality, we start to make wise choices. We start to move in the right direction with our lives. We start to live this life with purpose. You see, if we really want to find our purpose, we have to start looking at the moments and opportunities of our lives with intentionality. And here's what I believe with all of my heart. Is that every moment and every opportunity of your life has the potential to reveal one of two things. That if we look at every moment and every opportunity of our lives with intentionality, it's always either revealing, number one, this definitely is not your purpose, you're moving in the wrong direction, or two, this is your purpose, you're moving towards it. When we look at our lives with intentionality, everything with intentionality, we always will see one of those two things. Because every single one of us are going to be given an opportunity. And in the moment, it might seem insignificant. Frankly, it might seem downright inconvenient. But when we step in and we say yes to that thing, and we do that thing because we're looking for ways to discover our purpose, it starts to click. And we start to learn more about what our purpose is and what our purpose isn't. In the movie, 22 takes Joe into this room. And in this room, they discover all of these different people who are in their moment where it has clicked. And as they step into this room, they begin to discover something absolutely incredible about every single one of our lives. Check this out. It's the zone. And I don't know if you caught what 22 said there, but what she said is so true of our lives. When we find ourselves living in the midst of our purpose, it's the place where the physical meets the spiritual. That's what our purpose is. When we discover our purpose and start living our lives in the middle of that purpose that God has given us, created us with the ability to live in the midst of that purpose, to thrive in that purpose, it's the place where the physical meets the spiritual, where we start to make a difference and do things that we couldn't do on our own, that we never could have dreamt of, that we start to change this world or change our marriage or change our family or change our finances or change our workplaces in such an absolutely incredible way that can only be described as us living on purpose and aligning our lives with what God wants for us. It's the place where the physical meets the spiritual. Don't we want to keep our eyes open for that? But to get there, we have to start looking at everything with intentionality. And then number two, we have to be willing to try new things. See, if your life is monotonous and feels like it's lacking purpose, why do we keep doing the same thing? Like, we all know the definition of insanity. The definition of insanity is doing the same things and expecting different results. See, we've got to get out of our comfort zone. You've got to say yes to some things you've never said yes to before. Like I said, there will be opportunities presented to us that seem insignificant or maybe even inconvenient. And we've become so used to saying no that it's become second nature to just say, no, I don't have time for that. No, I'm not going to pursue that. No, I'm not going to entertain that opportunity in front of me. But what if it's time to try something new to start getting some different results in our lives? I love this passage of the prophet Isaiah. After he corrects the Israelite people for choosing their own path and turning their backs on God and his purpose for their life, he comes back to this reality. Even though you've turned your back on God, even though you've chased your own purpose, this is the God we have. This is how much our God loves you. This is what God wants to do in your life. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 16, he says this about God. I will lead the blind by ways they have not known. Along unfamiliar paths, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. In order for you to experience my best, my purpose for your life, sometimes you need to be led into unfamiliar places, down unfamiliar paths. But when you do that, I'm in the business. When you try new things to discover the purpose I have for you, I'm in the business turning the darkness into light, of making the rough places smooth. And I don't know about you, but I don't have to look much further than about a week into my past to recognize I need a little bit more of a God in my life who's in the business of taking the darkness of my life and this world and turning it into light, of taking the rough patches of my life and your life and turning it into smooth. See, deep down, we all need a God like that. A God who, yes, takes us into the uncomfortable, outside of our comfort zone, into the darkness, down paths you've never been before, but then begins to reveal something incredible to you. But to experience that in our lives, we have to be people who are willing to try something new. And then third, we have to become people who are courageous enough to give things our all. To give things my very best. This is what Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if working for the Lord, not for human masters. You see, if you encounter those new things, but you go through the motions, you won't recognize that it's your purpose. It'll feel monotonous and mundane like everything else in your life. You see, we were created to be people that when we say yes to something, we go after it. We give it our very best. And if you're in this room or you're watching online and you consider yourself to be a Christ follower, come back, lean in for just a moment. I promise it'll be worth the price of admission. Do you realize that as a Christ follower, one of the ways that we show Jesus to our world is by doing things with our very best, living our lives to the very best? And here's what I learned a while ago. Even if I'm living in the center of my purpose, If I'm giving less than my best, it won't feel like it's my purpose. Hello. Y'all okay? Even if I'm living in the center of my purpose, if I'm giving less than my best, it'll never feel like it's my purpose. I'll feel like I will never find my purpose. And it's not that I'm not living in the center of my purpose or I haven't found my purpose. It's simply that I haven't been giving my all to it. I haven't been giving it my very best. At the end of the movie, Joe receives this incredible gift. He receives this incredible gift because he's done such an incredible job in the mentorship program that they're going to allow him to go back to Earth and live out the rest of his life. And as he receives this gift, they ask him, Joe, what are you going to do with this gift that's been given to you? What are you going to do with the rest of the time you've been given on Earth? And Joe responds in this incredible way. Check this out. So what will you do with your life? I don't know. I don't know what my purpose is. But I know I'm going to live every minute of it. I'm going to give every moment my very best. Every moment my all. I'm going to embrace everything to the full. See, so much in life would change if we could embrace this perspective. Every single morning as we wake up and we swing our legs over the edge of the bed and our feet hit the floor, what would change in your life and in my life? What would change in our marriages? What would change in our households? What would change in our workplaces? What would change in our world? If we were people who were capable of saying, I don't know exactly what my purpose is yet, but what I do know is that today I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to give it my very best. And then lastly, maybe the most foundational one of all, the most important one for us to build off of, to discover and find our purpose, is for us to remember that my purpose was always about better, not easier. You see, I don't know about you, but what I do know about myself is this. Is that far too often, I've bought into the lie that when I discover my purpose, things will magically get easier in my life. All the things I'm doing will get easier when I'm living in the middle of my purpose. Guess what? Wrong. That's not the way that it works. Because anything worth doing was never meant to be easy. The greatest things in life are often the hardest. As a leadership team, just this past week, we started reading a new book together. And the book is called Don't Give the Enemy a Seat at Your Table. But in this book, the author, Louis Giglio, an incredible pastor, a respected man that I look up to, really settles in on this fact that we have a God who walks with us towards our purpose in life. That he begins to constantly want to move us in the direction of our purpose and why we were placed on this earth. But living our lives in the middle of God's purpose will often go through the valley, not around the valley. And as he begins to unveil this truth, that our God, in moving towards life's best and moving towards what he has for us, walks us through the valley and not around the valley, he camps out in this passage that many of us have heard before. He camps out in Psalm 23. And in verse 4, the author begins to write this. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. And oftentimes, as we've read through Psalm 23 and the promises of it and the hope we have to cling to of who our God is and how he walks beside us, what we often overlook is the power in the next part of this passage. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. That oftentimes, as we walk towards the purpose God has for us, this rich and satisfying life that he wants us to discover, that being in the middle of that rich and satisfying life, being in the middle of that purpose he's created us to live in the middle of, is often done when we're surrounded by our enemies. And I know you've felt it. I know you've experienced it. That we feel like we're doing what we've been called to do. But we feel that way at the very moment when the people we consider to be friends start to talk behind our back. Where it feels like the people we thought we could trust are constantly pushing against us. Where it feels like everything has become more difficult. And God says, no, in the middle of your purpose, there's going to be arrows coming at you. There's going to be enemies that are all around you. But I've created this feast with one other person at the dinner table with you that you're supposed to keep your eyes on, that'll remind you every single day, no, this is your purpose. And all the enemies around you and what they're saying and what they're hurling at you, that's just white noise. That other person at the table is me, your creator. Your sustainer, the one who knit you together in your mother's womb. You see, our purpose was always about better, not easier. And we have to stop buying into that lie. Because our life will be so much better when we live it in the middle of our purpose, and it actually doesn't have to get any easier for it to be a whole lot better. You see, far too many times in my life, here's the problem I keep running into. I keep living my life waiting for the world around me to reveal my purpose. Like maybe if that person asks me to do something, then it will click that this is what I'm supposed to do. Maybe if I get this invitation, then it'll create the aha, the light bulb moment that will begin to reveal my purpose. Or that people pleaser gene inside of me begins to rise up. And I think that if I just make that person happy or do what this person wants me to do or lead in this particular way that would make this group of people happy, then maybe that's when I can begin to discover my purpose. Maybe all will feel right in the world. And what I miss every single time when I start buying into that lie is this, is that there is not a thing or a person in this world that knows me in such a way that was described in Psalm 139, like my God, my heavenly Father knows me. Not even my wife, who knows me better than any other human being on this earth, can lay claim to the fact that she knit me together in my mother's womb, that she's numbered every hair on my head, that she's laid out my life before a day had even passed. Yet we keep going to the people who don't know us like that to help us determine our purpose. When the truth we need to cling to is simply this. The only way to discover my purpose is to encounter the one who created me with that purpose. And I know, y'all, that's strong terminology, but I believe it with all of my heart. The only way for me to discover my purpose is for me to encounter the one who created me with that purpose. My Heavenly Father, your Heavenly Father is the one who created us on purpose, for a purpose. Nobody else knows my purpose with precision like he does. And my Heavenly Father is the one who knows me best and yet still chooses to love me most. Was willing to send his only son to this earth to sacrifice himself so that I could have the very best. So that I could live out a rich and satisfying life. So that I could experience life to the full. So that my eternity could be the very best possible. The reality for every single one of our lives is this, is that for many of us in this room, for many of us watching online, what I believe with all of my heart is that maybe this moment, maybe today is the day for us, for the sake of our purpose, for the sake of our marriages, for the sake of our lives, for the sake of our futures, maybe today is the day where we encounter, or for some of us re-encounter, our Heavenly Father, so that we can start living our lives on purpose and start living our lives to the full. We have a God who wants that for you. A God who wants that for me. And yet he's saying, in order for you to discover that, you have to encounter me first. You have to be in relationship with me first. I created you. I know you best. And I know how to help you find your purpose on this earth. Would you pray with me? Father, this morning, with all eyes closed, with all heads bowed, for some of us in this room, we would say, Ben, that's me. I've tried to find my own purpose. I've tried to do it on my own. And I keep falling short into the monotony of life, the disappointments and the failures and the letdowns. I need a guide who, yes, may lead me outside of my comfort zone every once in a while, but a guide who helps me find my purpose, who helps me find not necessarily something easier, but helps me find something better, who turns the darkness into light and the rough patches into smooth. Maybe for some of us, we had that once, but it was a couple decades ago. It was 5 years ago, and we've drifted since. We've walked away. We've tried to do it on our own again. We're saying today's the day. Today's the day that I encounter the one who created me with that purpose. One who created me on purpose for a purpose. If that's you, it's as simple as repeating these words in your heart and in your mind. God, for far too long, I've tried to do it on my own. I'm tired of living in the monotony. I'm tired of feeling like my life has no purpose. Today, I need a better guide. I need you. I'm asking you to come into my life. I'm thanking you for what your son sacrificed so that I could have something better, so that I could experience a rich and satisfying life. Have an eternity that's unmatched. So God, today I'm asking for your help. I need you. It's in your name that I pray. And for the rest of us, God, this morning, I pray that we become people who are courageous enough to start looking at everything in our lives with intentionality. that we become people who start living courageously enough to try new things, to step outside of our comfort zone and to say yes to things we haven't said yes to before for the sake of finding our purpose and moving towards our purpose. God, I pray that we become people who are courageous enough to give it our all, to give every moment of our lives our very best. And then we become people who wake up every morning and remember that our purpose was always about better, not easier. And when we do that, God, we start to make a difference in this world that is unparalleled. God, we thank you for being a God who knows us best, who created us with a specific purpose. And yet in light of our failures, in light of going our own way, you still love us most. It's in your name that I pray. Amen.